Hello, welcome to the Irish NFL Show. My name is Shane Brennan and thank you very much for joining me for more Super Bowl coverage and coverage of other teams around the league. I'm glad to be joined by my good friend Ben Costello, and for anybody who is probably sick of listening to me banging on about this podcast, I probably wouldn't even be watching the NFL were it not for Ben. We grew up and we're good friends. We grew up together. He's been following the NFL for a little bit longer than I have. Big Seahawks fan and is here to talk to us about the Seahawks and about the fact that he's playing with the Kildare Crusaders as well. But of course, we're looking forward to the Super Bowl again this weekend. Ben, are you looking forward to seeing the Niners play? You joined me when we went to the Niners work party a few weeks ago.
You would open with this. Like, I thought we were going to wait a little bit and like get into it naturally, but you would bring up the Super Bowl and the fact that we're not in it and our rivals are.
We can go into the Super Bowl a little bit later. I just wanted to get it out there for anybody who was at the Niners meetup a couple of weeks ago that Ben turned up in the Seahawks jersey and got abused for 3 hours straight, which was quite enjoyable, really.
It was all really bantery abuse. I kind of asked for it, but I did think I might have a friend or two. Surely someone's going to show up to a Seahawks versus 49ers game if they're doing an event for it. No, I showed up in a brand new retro Jackson Smith and Jigba jersey, and I stood out like a sore thumb. But it was great, despite being surrounded by 49ers fans. But
well, listen, look, I think that's kind of the crack. One of the best things about following the NFL is the fact that there's so many different teams that people follow. Not everybody is a boring Liverpool or Man United fan, and I say that as a boring Liverpool fan. But I'm going to dig into the Seahawks a bit before we look forward to the Super Bowl, because in the last couple of weeks, there's been some major changes in Seattle. We saw Pete Carroll leave the door, which I think was unexpected. I didn't even think Pete Carroll wanted that to happen. And the Seattle Seahawks have appointed Mike McDonald as the new head coach. Just in general, before we get on to the appointment of Mike McDonald, were you surprised that Pete Carroll left, or was that something you were expecting?
He didn't leave is the issue. He's still there. So in that capacity, yeah, very surprised. Obviously, I think we ended up with a similar record to the season previous, if not the exact same. Obviously, not making the playoffs is a big thing, but I did think he had done enough and to warrant his job for another year at least, you know what I mean? He's drafted some really good players. I know that's the GM, but like he obviously has a say in it. And as I said, we had a winning record. Obviously wasn't enough for the Seahawks to keep him around, but very surprised. It's a Pete Carroll's all I've known as a Seahawks fan the last X amount of years, so to not have him around is going to be different, to say the least.
Yeah, it was interesting, like you mentioned there, it's 9-8 record for each of the last two seasons, like considering that's after Russell Wilson left. I mean, there's a lot of talk. Russell Wilson was, of course, the pillar of that great Seahawks team of the early part of the decade when they won the Super Bowl and got to the other Super Bowl, which I won't mention too much, Ben.
Yeah. I was waiting for that one as well. I was like, when is he going to bring it up? He says, but, is Julian Edelman jersey.
I know. I'm probably rubbing it in a bit too much. But and if we look at, you know, after Russell Wilson left, it was expected that he'll do the storyline that everyone was writing is of Geno Smith. We're not quite sure what way he would work out, that he'll struggle a little bit and Russell Wilson will go on and do great things in Denver, or at least show the potential to do great things in Denver. Of course, we're sitting here now that Geno Smith has a much more greater job security. I mean, I thought as somebody who was watching the Seahawks at 9-8, 2 years in a row, I know there was I think 4-game in a row losing streak midway through the season, but I thought Pete Carroll got a decent return out of the players he had to work with. I was surprised that they decided to move on so quickly.
It's a tough stick. And as I said, yeah, like Russell Wilson leaving obviously is a big catalyst. I still remember being in my partner's house when I saw it on Instagram and I was nearly in tears. Like when I saw it on Instagram I was like, we're done. That's it. We're tanking. Like this is it for at least 2 years before we can get back to being in any way relevant. Like last in the division, I was so upset. Like, and then we had a wonderful season. Do you know what I mean? By all things considered, you know, as I said, 9-8 making the playoffs, Geno was surprisingly good. The team was surprisingly good. And the fact that Russell wasn't there didn't matter all that much. And then you had a repeat the season. It basically was the exact same thing. Obviously, that one part in the middle where you had a four-game losing streak was probably one of the final nails in the coffin when they look at the whole season. You know what I mean? Like, it takes some seriously bad coaching to go that many games in a row with losses. Now we were up against very good teams.
Yeah, I think the one game in that streak that was almost an outlier is against the Dallas Cowboys. Remember that Thursday night game where it was just a crazy shootout, 41-35, I think the scoreline was in the end. I mean, that's
I think the Niners were two of the four. The Cowboys, again, you could forgive. I don't remember what that fourth team was. I'm very sure it was
the Rams, 17-16.
Yeah, it was one we absolutely should have had in our back pocket as a win. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of things that came into probably what made them want to expedite the PKR process. Losing four of your, getting swept by the Rams and the 49ers probably played a lot into it. We also would have split with the Cardinals had they not missed that last field goal at the end of the season. I think the 49ers are just so good at the minute, and we are very much just okay, that you got to make a move somehow, some way to try keep up. And I think this is it for Seattle.
And just in terms of course, Pete Carroll is always known as an offensive head coach, and that's kind of where he made it his bread and butter and the way that the teams have been set up. Whereas if we look at Mike McDonald, he was the defensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens for the last two seasons, a defense that I think did pretty well. They still held the Kansas City Chiefs scoreless in the second half of the AFC Championship game. It was very much, from my point of view, it's very much the Baltimore offense that kind of fucked that game up, really. Whereas we're coming to, the Baltimore defense is strong. It's a pretty, I think a good, if you're going to pick a defensive head coach, it's a good person to pick. But do you think that choosing a defensive head coach is probably a reaction to the fact that, like you said, the 49ers are very good, have a very good offensive head coach? And Sean McVay has shown that the Rams can still be very strong, and the Rams beat the Seahawks twice this year. I mean, being able to win individually is more important than anything else.
Absolutely. It's as you said, it's probably a drastic overcorrection. We had a pretty pitiful defense this year. And if you look back to the last time we were relevant, was Legion of Boom. Defense, defense in a big run game. So of all the, as you said, of all the hiring options, I'm at the time, obviously we were quite late to the party when it came to hiring. I think we were second last to choose a head coach. I think I'm most content with this choice. Do you know what I mean? Out of all the ones we interviewed Dan Quinn, who went to the Commanders. The Cowboys final kind of left a sour taste in that. We were interviewing Mike Vrabel. Would have been okay with that. Obviously, not coming off great seasons, but Mike Vrabel is Mike Vrabel. But then you have basically the closest things in Legion of Boom that the league has seen in X amount of years in the Baltimore Ravens. So it makes sense. It makes absolute sense that's the route they'd go. If they're not going to go full offense and try to keep up with them with the rest of the division offensively, we'll do it with the defense. Do you know what I mean? So it makes perfect sense. I think I had a look that we haven't hired an offensive coordinator yet, and we're very late to the party doing so, which worries me a little bit. But I think if the defense can go back to the way it was once upon a time, and they have some wonderful draft picks to do it with, that the last few years they've got some really good players. I think the scheming's just been really outdated. If the offense can keep up in any way, shape, or form and be consistent, like you had games, as you said, the Dallas game where we put up 30 something points, and then you had the Ravens where we put up three. Do you know what I mean? There was just no in the middle. It was always like we were outscoring when we didn't need to, or we were not scoring when we could have done with one touchdown. Do you know what I mean? So overall, yeah, very happy with Mike McDonald. I think he's going to bring a lot of juice. But I think the main issue going forward, and maybe that's just the fan in me wanting a bit of a life in the team, I don't think Gino's it. I really don't think Gino's it. I don't know how deep you want to get into it.
No, I was going to ask that because, I mean, you compare it to Brock Purdy, the Rams quarterback, not Sam Darnold, or Matthew Stafford. Awful name mix up there. And, of course, what Colin Murray can do with the Cardinals. The Cardinals, of course, have been very off-color the last couple of years, but could very much turn it on. You know, the Seahawks obviously are looking at that, decided to go for a defensive head coach, decided to rebuild defense. Like I said, Mike McDonald has had a fantastic scheme to work with in Baltimore. You know, and there's talk about Chip Kelly coming in as the offensive coordinator as well, which is
I'm not sure, like, do we keep the whole staff young? You know what I mean? You kind of look at Philly did it 2 years ago. They brought in, obviously, Nick Sirianni, and he brought in his coordinators, both really young, enthusiastic, and smart guys that obviously end up both becoming head coaches. You know what I mean? So do you do that and hope that, you know, that the young minds can get an offense and slash defense going? Or do you go with something reliable like the Chip Kellys? And
yeah, if it were me, and knowing that the kind of culture that has been going on in Seattle, and even though Pete Carroll was either the oldest or second oldest head coach in the league, he's very much been of a young heart, and that's been always the culture in Seattle. And I gotta agree with you. I think a younger offensive corner, and maybe it's because we're just two lads in our 20s chatting. But I think somebody younger, a bit more hunger, might be able to get more out of the team. But you were talking about Geno Smith. I mean, is he the fourth best quarterback in that division? Probably. But I thought, but does that mean that the Seahawks can't win with him? I think
it's difficult because the first year he took over, you know, the offense was really good. Like, he was accurate. He delivered the ball. He did nothing crazy. He was just really consistent. And then this year, it just wasn't there. We've got playmakers at pretty much every position. You know, we've got two very solid running backs. Our wide receiving core is unbelievable. Offensive line, while it can always get better, is extremely serviceable. We've used a lot of draft picks on that in the last few years. So when I look at this year's draft, the quarterback class is really deep. So you've obviously got your top heavy ones in Caleb Williams and Drake May that are going to go in picks 1, 2, and 3. That's obvious. But you have a few outliers that might slip just because of the sheer amount of talent in this draft. You know, and we're picking at, I don't know the exact draft pick. I think it's
16 overall. Yeah.
16. Yeah, I knew it was in the kind of top of just before the playoffs, obviously, them type of picks. So if one of them was to fall, I don't see where you'd get a more valuable, you know what I mean, more value out of a pick than a quarterback. Because I don't know, like, I watched the Pro Bowl, and I know that's not really...
Oh, you're hardcore. I didn't even watch the Pro Bowl.
I watched the Pro Bowl. We just moved in to a new apartment, as you know, and pretty much the only thing we set up was the couch and the TV at the time. And it was on last Sunday. It was on at like a very reasonable hour of true on at 8 o'clock for the flag football. And again, preferenceless, I know that means nothing in the NFL. But Geno's stat line was something like, and the fact that Geno was in the Pro Bowl was, I didn't know about. Obviously, he was a reserve because Patrick Mahomes and Brock Purdy weren't in it. So we understand that. But anyway, you show up. He had one touchdown, two interceptions, one of them being a pick six. It was just really bad decision making. He didn't look good at all. Even Baker Mayfield looked like unreal on the field. I think he won MVP on the same on the NFC team. And I'm just like, if as a Seahawks fan, are you content with this level of quarterbacking, you know, trying to win a Super Bowl? Okay, yes, he's okay. But when your other two, and I won't count the Cardinals in this because they're kind of in a similar boat to us, that we're just not as good as the other two above us. they have the quarterbacks to go and win a Super Bowl, and the weapons to go, the offense to go and do it. I just feel like I don't get excited at the thought of a Geno Smith at quarterback. Do you know what I mean? We found out Drew Lock isn't it either this season. So like, you know, they played great, but what are we here for other than to win a Super Bowl? So I think that's why they made the big splash at coach. I think they need to do the same at quarterback.
Yeah, it's a weird spot that Seattle's in at the moment, because of course they're in the tough division where they need to, I mean, they lost twice to the Rams and to the 49ers this year. That can't happen if they want to try and make the playoffs. I mean, they still finished 9-8. Had one other game gone their way, you know, they would have had the 6th or 7th yeah. seed. Or if things had to change in Green Bay. But the fact of the matter is, if two of your division opponents, your own four against those two, it's very difficult to make playoffs year in year. And it's a difficult thing for Seattle to try and negotiate. And they're not in a position that, you know, for example, the Patriots are in where they have to do rebuild. So it's the typical position of a team that has a 16th draft pick. It's, you know, they're kind of just in the middle.
We're similar to a Pittsburgh Steelers situation. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're never going to be in the top five picking. Do you know what I mean? We were last year, but the top three quarterbacks of that draft disappeared by pick 4. And I don't think you were going to get into that top five. And also, other than CJ Stroud, none of them ended up being world changers. Do you know what I mean? Obviously, they could be in the future, but we don't know about. So, you know, you kind of have to find a quarterback later on in the first round. And we've not had this issue. We've not had to draft a quarterback. I don't know when the last time we drafted a quarterback is, never mind in the first round. Russell Wilson was the 3rd rounder. And we've been solid ever since. So we haven't. It's a blessing because we've not had to use first round picks on quarterbacks. But, you know, when we do have to use one, it's difficult because the ones in the 19s, 20s, typically not going to cut it. Do you know what I mean? Like, so this, as I said earlier, this draft class is pretty stacked. And it could so happen that, did I mention the names of the quarterbacks of the Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr. From Washington and Oregon? If one of them was to fall, even if you're not 100% that they are the best quarterback in the draft, because they're probably not being that far down, I think they're a very good upgrade, yeah, based on what you have at the moment. So I don't think you're ever going to get an opportunity to get a first-round quarterback that far in as well that you would be, you know, okay with.
So the fact you have a 16 pick is probably gives a unique opportunity to use that on a quarterback. But in fairness, like you mentioned, Russell Wilson was a 3rd rounder, and of course at the Super Bowl we have a Mr. Irrelevant coming through, and I'm going to try to move the goalposts here to this weekend's battle between the 49ers and the Chiefs. Starting with the 49ers, I think, because we'll stick with the NFC West before looking at the AFC. You know, this is the opinion on Brock Purdy has reigned so much between he is an elite talent, or he's just somebody who's working in the system. And it's, you know, it's easy to see both sides of the argument, but particularly when you see the talent that the Niners have across in terms of their wide receivers, O-line, Christian McCaffrey, and even the defensive side of the ball with Nick Bosa as well. It's probably the best roster in the NFL. Do you think that the Chiefs are going to have a very difficult day trying to stop this Niners team, or, you know, are the Chiefs going to do what the Chiefs generally do and find a way to pull it out in the postseason?
I don't know how the Chiefs keep doing it, man. I really don't. Like, I really thought they weren't going to make it. I thought they'd beat Miami, okay, because Miami was whatever, but I really didn't think.
History. Miami's not winning that.
I was. That was the only one I was like, right, okay, yeah, they should win that. After that, I was like, I could see them going at any point, and they just kept going. I don't know how they've kept going, and it hurts me to my core. Like, I'm like, how is a franchise just that good? In the last X amount of years, I can see the 49ers offense being a serious issue. for their defense, and their defense has been really good this year. But like, I have no doubt that Patrick Mahomes can, you know, dissect their defense. You know what I mean? He's the best to do it in the last 10 years, probably for the next 10 years as well. I have no worries about him possibly being able to do that. I just have worries about the defense being able to keep up with that, you know, really high power offense. Like, you take one guy away and there's two more open. So offensively for the Chiefs, surprisingly, because that's not been all the case all season, I'm not worried about them, because playoff Chiefs are just built different. The defense, I really can't see, especially the way the Bills tore that defense apart. I can see the 49ers possibly doing something the same. I don't think that the only time I've seen the offense be stifled for the 49ers is against the Ravens, and the Ravens defense is not the Chiefs defense. They are two very different things.
Yeah, it's interesting you were mentioning the game against the Bills. I think that's kind of been lost in the conversation. I think, A, because it showed the Chiefs' ability to, I guess, get revenge after Patrick Mahomes' win to Josh Allen in the regular season when Kadarius Toney was called outside. But B, because, like I said, the defense, you know, there's a lot of focus on Spags and Spags' ball and how the Chiefs managed to shut the Ravens up. But it's also worth remembering that the Ravens' game plan there was terrible.
Appalling. I think that game had more to do with the Ravens than it did the Chiefs. It's a difficult one to gauge. Again, you look, the 49ers struggled against the Packers for most of that game. Same against Detroit. And the Chiefs will be the one team, I'm like, if you let them get ahead of you, they are that professional, they are that well coached and that well trained, and they've been there so many times. I don't think they're going to let you crawl back into it like the last couple teams have.
Well, that's what I'm focused on, because like, Andy Reid is famous for in the first half having his set or his plan for, he knows what his first 14 offensive plays is going to look like. But I think the big difference here is going to be how the 49ers attack the first half of the game and whether they can get lead, because they had to come back against the Packers, who, you know, the Packers, it was their game to lose and they lost it. Same as the story against the Lions, it was their game to lose and they lost it. You know, if the 49ers come in and the Chiefs get a 10 or 14 point lead, I think that it's going to find it very difficult to come back. So do you think that the 49ers will come in with a strong enough plan and using the talent they have between, you know, Kyle Juszczyk, Debo Samuel, Christian McCaffrey, Brock Purdy, I guess, probably shouldn't be ruled out of that as well, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle. I mean, there's a lot of really strong players there. Do you think that there is enough planning for when they could actually come into the first half to get a grip on the game early and to go in at halftime being in front? Because I think that's going to be very important for them.
Yeah, the 49ers all season have been an in-front team. They're kind of similar to the Dallas Cowboys, just a lot better. So you see, as I said, there was a stat where in the fourth quarter, where if they were trailing by more than a touchdown, they hadn't won a game in X amount of games, and it was a stupid number. So that's been their whole identity. We're better than everybody. Let's prove it in the first half. And then just, you know, they have to then change their game plan up because they're playing catch up. And that's when we create turnovers. And that's why the defense is so good. So they're an in-front team. Now, they've gone against the grain, much like the Chiefs have. So the Chiefs have been bad offensively off-season. As soon as postseason hits, they're really good. The 49ers haven't been able to play from behind all season. As soon as the postseason hits, that's all they've done. They've come back and win. So I don't know what to think. Anything can happen, and that's kind of the beauty of the Super Bowl. Do you know what I mean? But I really do think that if the 49ers come out, and I think that from what I've seen, they're taking it extremely seriously. They're not showboating.
There's a lot of people in their practice facilities. You see that?
Yeah, but they've been here previously. It wasn't that long ago. It was a couple of years ago.
And 4 years.
And they've come up short. And it feels like, and there was a fair few players on that team that are still on that team. And it just seems like they're here and they mean business and they don't plan on getting sent home again. So I don't know if you're looking for
I was about to lead up to that because like everyone I'm talking to this week, I'm going to ask, like, who do you think is going to win and which player do you think it is going to make the difference? And just for reference, I was speaking to somebody earlier who is a 49ers podcaster, and he said that when he's looking at the Chiefs, who he's worried about is Isaiah Pacheco. And I agree with him. Like, I think that if Isaiah Pacheco has a good game, that can be big for the Chiefs. If they find a way to stop him, that can be crucial. So when you're looking at now this game, A, who do you think is going to win? And B, who do you think is going to be the player that can make the difference?
As much as it pains me to say, I do think the 49ers are going to win. I think it's a Christian McCaffrey game. I think it has to be. I think he's their best player all around. And that's saying something when the list of names you listed off about a couple minutes ago, you know, Kittle, Ayuk, Debo, that doesn't even get onto the defense. I do think the 49ers are going to win it. I think Christian McCaffrey is going to play a huge part in that. So much so that it's not even going to be his production. I think they're going to be so scared of getting beat by Christian McCaffrey that they're going to play a lot of, you know, to stop him. And then you have such deep threats that I don't think the Chiefs DBs, you know, they have two very good DBs in Snead and what's the other one? It's McDuffie. But Snead has been really good. McDuffie's been okay. I think they're going to target the other one. and if they do commit to stopping Christian McCaffrey, I think those deep balls are just, it's going to be the end of it.
I think there was a stat earlier that I think for touchdown passes over 20 yards, Mahomes only thrown two. Brock Purdy this year has thrown 12. And that deep threat is going to be, I think, one of the main differences between both of the offenses, plus the fact that, like you said, Christian McCaffrey and the run-oriented game is going to be a much bigger part of the 49ers, what they're going to be trying to do compared to what the Chiefs tried to do, where it's all pretty much on passion. Yeah.
You mentioned Pacheco earlier, and you're like, yeah, I think he could be a big X factor. Pacheco is not going to take over a game the same way Christian McCaffrey is, right? So there's a running back advantage, 49ers. You think of the weapons on the Chiefs, you have Travis Kelce, and that's it. You know, the Rashee Rice has come into his own. Yes, he's a very good rookie wide receiver these last, you know, probably the second half of the season. But, you know, he's not going to take over a game. So the only one that you would really be worried about from a Chiefs offensive side, obviously Patrick Mahomes will do Patrick Mahomes magic things, but someone's going to catch the ball. And if it's not Kelce, I really don't know who's going to be that game changer for the Chiefs. I just don't see a way in which it goes magically well unless the 49ers game plan in the first half is just god-awful and Coach Reid schemes up the most wonderful things he's ever schemed up. I don't see how it can go, and this is hard to say.
It was just you're saying that about Coach Reid. I mean, Coach Reid scheming up things, that's quite possible. We can see that happening, but I can't really see the Niners backing it out. And look, like I said, you're a passionate Seahawks fan. The idea you're saying that the 49ers are going to win, I'm sure will bring joy into those Niners fans who met you.
I'm just playing the long game, because if the 49ers win, they can all demand huge money on the market, and they can't afford to keep everybody. I'm playing the long game.
You can take their whoever they pick for quarterback in the fourth round or something like that. Who knows? Listen, look, we've kind of done the past with the Seahawks, we've done the present with the Super Bowl. Let's look into the future a little bit, because you are a wide receiver with the Kalar Crusaders who play in the Division One of the American Football Ireland League. Just a little word and how your preparations are going with them. Obviously, the way you were talking about the Chiefs wide receiver core, if you play well enough and they send you your film, you could be lining out for the Chiefs next year. You're probably not a job then, Kadarius Toney.
Put me in, coach. Scheme me up. I'll be your Tyreek Hill. I don't think he's much taller than me. And I'm not that tall.
I wouldn't start comparing yourself to Tyreek Hill now, to be fair.
if I don't believe it, nobody else is going to be. I do play for the Kildare Crusaders. This would be my third season for them. I joined during COVID, so we didn't really play much kit at all. I joined the flag team. We're prepping really well for the season. I think it's one of the more dialed in groups that we've had. It's been very, in the last few years, and myself included, you know, we've been very chill and it's not been that serious. And I was new, so I definitely wasn't as locked in as we have been in previous years. But the frustrations of the last two seasons, you know, losing in the semifinals in very close fashion. I think there was a touchdown between both games. I think we lost the Vikings the year previous and then to the Mavericks this year. We're so close. And a lot of us, especially the older guys who've been there a long time, are really stepping it up and changing the tone. So yeah, we're just looking at being really consistent all season. Obviously the end goal is coming away with a win at the end of the year and moving up into SBC.
That's brilliant. Well, look, that's the beauty of American football, even though the NFL ends, football keeps going throughout the spring. Ben, it's been good talking to you, and I'm going to be replaying this when I come to your apartment on Sunday night for the Super Bowl party. I'm looking forward to Emma's Chicken Wings. I'll be making sure that every time the Niners score, I want to see you reacting and say, yes, that's it. That's one step closer to them having to pay all of their players. And you're so delighted that the Niners are
good. It's going to end up on Twitter or something. We'll just take the absolute mick out of me, and it'll be a great time for all involved. So, yeah.
Good stuff. I'm looking forward to it. Ben, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Shane. Appreciate it.